Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I know that in the last week or week and a half, I've been coming back to the same questions, and I'm coming back to them, questions about how we live, questions about our desire to forgive, questions about our own sin and whether we're really repenting of our sin, questions about whether we're really willing to follow the Lord. I'm repeating and repeating these because I have such a sense in me that we really, each of us, needs to take an inventory of our lives. We need to be in as clear a place as we possibly can that God may use us for the spreading of the gospel. I don't know what that means in terms of time, but I do know there is in my spirit, and you can take this or leave it, but in my spirit there is a sense of urgency. More and more, God wants to get us in place and ready, that our own hearts are disposed toward Him. We've done our own homework. We've placed our lives before God. We've repented of our sin. We're depending on Him, the power of His Holy Spirit. We're depending upon the grace of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Well, we've always, always needed the Holy Spirit. But in my limited sense, I'd say, at least in my lifetime, we need the Holy Spirit more than we ever have. We need wisdom. We need understanding. We need counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. We need courage. We need hope. We need faith. The Holy Spirit brings all that to us. So we want to get our hearts ready. This is a time between Easter and Pentecost. This is a time to be asking the Holy Spirit for help. This is a year of a jubilee of mercy. And God will hear that prayer, and God will answer that prayer lavishly if we seek Him in sincerity and in truth. He will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let's take a look now at the readings for this Sunday. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, and then 40 and 41. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. This is one of the many times they were imprisoned. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You want to bring this man's blood upon us. Look at the answer. Think where Peter's come from. Some years I marvel at him so much when this season comes, and I think of what a transformation of character. So it should be for us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Ask the Holy Spirit for grace to love his word, to love the church, the teaching of the church, love the scriptures, seek to follow him, and he will give the Holy Spirit in remarkable ways to those who genuinely desire to be his disciples. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So, what do? They go home, they get crouched down in a corner, and they whisper, and they try to plan how they might be able to do something. No, it says they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And then they went back to preaching. They rejoiced that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. Have you suffered dishonor yet for the sake of his name? It can be hard. But there's also a joy that comes in knowing that I am fulfilling part of what I was born for. Psalm 30, I praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. It goes on with a verse that I love. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. The nighttime of struggle, of humiliation, the time of dreams being broken. At nightfall, weeping enters in. But if we trust in the Lord, if we come to him, we turn to him with the dawn, the light of Christ coming into our lives, there will be rejoicing again. Never doubt that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne. This is his vision that he had of heaven, who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number. They cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor, glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures answered, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Sometimes, you know, we think we're praising God by ourselves because we are physically alone. But look at this. Look at this, that there were countless people in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." That kind of worship is going on before the throne of God 24/7, to put it in our time frame. It's going on 24/7 when you and I worship the Lord, even if we think we're alone. We're not. We're surrounded by myriads and myriads and myriads of angels, by those who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're surrounded. Go deeper in your faith. Go deeper. Put your roots down deeper in faith. You will never be disappointed. In the gospel for today, John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. This is the passage where Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and they did it this way. He had brought together Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And when it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. I mean, Jesus is appearing some places, but they're still trying to put their heads around that. Am I seeing a ghost? Am I seeing the real thing? They're believing now. But Peter's like, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what is familiar." He may need to do it for his livelihood, but he's also going back to what is familiar. And it says here, when it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. If you don't expect him, you don't see him. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" And they answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat. You'll find something." Now, remember, Peter was the professional fisherman. But what does he do? So they cast it, and they were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Can you imagine? When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus had made breakfast for them. Can you imagine the delight and the shock and they must have been laughing and crying all at the same time? They saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread, and Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. That was a heavy load. And even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." They must have been kind of looking at each other and looking at him. Is it really? And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because in a certain way they knew, but this was still a shock every time it happened. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. And Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them. And in like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, that you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." And then Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John," each time he's going deeper, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything, the good and the bad. You know everything, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." Brothers and sisters, none of us knows what lies ahead in our own personal lives. None of us can see into the future. But if we love the Lord and we choose to be absolutely faithful to him and to his word, when the journey is ended, we will be safely home and all will be well. Please don't risk, "Oh, maybe next week, next year, next time I get a moment to think, next time I make a retreat." Again, I've said these things to you many times in this past year, and I'm saying it again. Please take stock now. Where are you? It took Simon Peter's denial to bring him in humility to his Lord. May you come now in humility before your Lord and let him lead you safely home. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.